Pavchasimid Aleph, 13 lines into the wide lines. The Gemara was discussing before that there's what's called Karis and Misa B'day Shemayim, meaning there's two types of death that come from heaven. One is called Karis, that you die before you're 50, the Gemara says, and there's a death you die before 60, that's called Misa B'day Shemayim. Then it says, if you die at 70 or plus, that's called old age. If you die after 80, that's called real old age. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. So now the Gemara says like this. Rav Yosef, ki have a barshitin, when Rav Yosef hit 60 years old, of the lo yeme tovel rabbanin, he made a party for the chachamim, he made a party for the rabbis. Why did he make a birthday party? Why did he make a birthday party? He said, nafka limikaris, I left the chorus range. Because if you do an aver of chorus, you die by 60. The fact that he made it to 60 and he didn't die, he said, thank God, I'm from the, I don't have the chorus sins. Thank God I outlived the chorus years. Amalei Abaye said to him, the 1 minute, Nehi the Nafik Lemi Karis Deshani, even though you left the yearly chorus, meaning before 60, you made it to 60, but Mikaris the Yemen Minafkemar, but you didn't leave the daily chorus, meaning sometimes a person after 60 can just die suddenly. And the Gemara said that's also a type of death that's called Karis. So he says, just because you hit 60, okay, you hit 60, but that doesn't mean you can't die anytime soon. So he said, okay, Amalei, you're right, but at least 50% I got, that I got out of the Karis years. I made it to the age of 60. And we mentioned that in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explains that even though that the Gemara says that a person who doesn't have aver dies before 50 or 60. So the Alter Rebbe asks, in the Geres Teshuvah, in the recent Tanya Shir, the Alter Rebbe asks the question, why do we find so many people that are so wicked, you know, and they live ripe old ages, even though they did all the sins that you're supposed to get killed for? So the Alter Rebbe answers that, he explains the whole thing, but the fundamental answer is, he says, that only applies to people who live from holiness. A person who lives from holiness, then when they do a sin, you cut the rope, so to speak, the lifeline rope, and you can only go to 60. But nowadays, most of us don't live from holiness anyway. So if you don't live from holiness, you can keep on going for many, many, many years because you're not living from Kedusha anyway. In other words, he explains that the whole concept that a person dies when they do these sins is because there's like a lifeline rope between Hashem and us that gives us life. And if you do the sin, you cut the rope, but you remain with a little bit of life until you're able to reach 60. One second. So he says, nowadays we don't live from Kedusha anyway, so if we don't live from Kedusha, so we can continue living from evil also. So the Rebbe asks, so why did Rav Yosef make a party when he hit 60, because he left the Karis punishment? Maybe he lived, how did he know? Maybe he lived like everybody else, also from evil. Maybe. At least out of modesty, could have thought that way. So the Rebbe explains an interesting thing. Rav Yosef knew that he lived from holiness. He knew. He had a proof that he lived from holiness. What was the proof? The Gemara says, at the end of Hodias, which is a different Gemara, the Gemara tells a story that the yeshiva head was vacant. There was a vacancy in the head of the yeshiva. And there were two candidates. Rabba, who by the way died, we learned last week, when he was 40, and Rav Yosef. Now they didn't know which one to take. So they sent a question to Israel, who should they take? What was the difference between Rabba's style and Rav Yosef's style? Rabba had a very deep head. In other words, he learned very deeply. Rav Yosef knew more, but he wasn't as deep as Rabba. Okay, these were the two candidates. Basically, it was quality versus quantity. Rav Yosef knew a lot more quantity, but Rabba was more quality. So they didn't know which of the two to pick. So they sent a shaila to Eretz Yisrael. They were in Bavel. So they sent the question to the rabbis in Israel, who should we take? So the rabbis in Israel told them they should take Rav Yosef. They should take Rav Yosef as the head, because quantity is better than quality. That's basically what they answered. So the Gemara says Rav Yosef declined. So he came to Rav Yosef and said, okay, we want to make you the head of the yeshiva. So he said, no, I don't want to be. Let Rabba be. So he picked Rabba. Okay? And Rabba was the head for 22 years. If them said he died at 40. So he was 18 when they appointed him the head of the yeshiva of these people. Okay? So the Gemara says, for the 22 years that Rabba was the head, Rav Yosef never needed a doctor. That's what the Gemara says, according to one opinion. He never needed a doctor. So the Rebbe explains, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch and in Rambam, you're not allowed to live in a city without a doctor. It's forbidden to live in a city where there's no doctor. Why? Because normally you get sick, and if there's no doctor, you're like relying on miracles. You're not allowed to rely on miracles. You need to live in a natural way. Right? So the person, the halacha is, you must live in a city where there's a doctor. If there's no doctor, you can't live in the city. So the fact that Rav Yosef didn't need a doctor for 22 years was a supernatural thing. So therefore, he understood that he lived from Kedusha. And if he lived from Kedusha, that's where when he reached the age of 60, he threw a party, because he said, obviously I live from Kedusha, and therefore the fact that I made it shows I didn't do any sins of that would make me die younger, make me die earlier. But there's another interesting story with the Friedrich Rebbe that shows a remarkable story. When the Friedrich Rebbe, the previous Rebbe, was in the boat coming from Europe to America, he got very sick on the boat. And there was a Jewish doctor on the boat that took care of him and made him healthy. Okay, very simple story. Later, after the previous Rebbe became healthy on the boat, the doctor went to the Rebbe, to the previous Rebbe, and he said, I apologize. It's my fault that you got sick. So the Rebbe said to him, why is it your fault that I got sick? He said, because if there was no doctor on board, Hashem wouldn't have made you get sick. Why did you get sick? Because there was a doctor on board to cure you. But if there wouldn't have been a doctor on the ship, you wouldn't have gotten sick. So he apologized to the Rebbe that he got sick. He said, without me, you wouldn't have gotten sick. What did you want?
Also, there's a concept that people who tend to do sins, whatever, if they live a prolonged life in this world, in the future world, it's going to be, I mean, the more you enjoy this...
It's only Hashem's way of dealing. It's impossible to know. Only Hashem would know that. We don't know. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara continues, Rav Huna noch nafshi piskim. Rav Huna passed away, and we learned before in the Gemara, Rav Huna was extremely brilliant. Rav Huna died suddenly. So Avakadai Gerabanan, the rabbinical students were worried. In other words, maybe it's like a punishment for his sins that he died suddenly. So it says, Tanalo Huzuga de Medayev, some Torah scholars, two Torah scholars in the city of Daiv said the following. Lai Shanu, when does this din that a sudden death might be Karis? That's only Shlehe Gila Gvuris if you didn't reach the age of 80. Aval he Gila Gvuris. But if you reach the age of 80, which is called strength, that is called Misas Neshika, death by kiss. What does it mean, death by kiss? It says in the Chumash that Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, the three siblings, died. It says when Aaron died, it says he died Al Pi Hashem. Simply, Al Pi Hashem means God said he should die. You know, go up to the mountain and lay down. But in a deeper sense, the Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Al Pi Hashem means God kissed him. By Miriam, it doesn't say God kissed her because it doesn't sound nice. Okay, but it says Aaron, Miriam, and Moshe died was called the kiss of God. So the Gemara says over here that if somebody dies after 80, even if it's a sudden death, it's not called punishment for Karis, for a sin that they did, it's called death by kiss. Which is, as Chassidus explains, what it mean, God kissed Aaron and Moshe? I mean, what does it mean? It means their souls refused to leave the body. They said, look, we're such great bodies, such great tzaddikim, the soul didn't want to leave. It wanted to stay in the body. So how did God get it to leave? God revealed such a great level of godliness that the neshama was attracted to that and the neshama left the body. So the Gemara says, after 80, that's that concept of that type of death. Amid Rav, now Rav says like this. Chaya banu mezeina, the length of a person's life, the number of children they're going to have, and the amount of mezeina parnasam, lei b'schus yitalia milsa, is not dependent on your merit. Ela b'mazel yitalia milsa, it's up to your mazel. You got a good mazel, you have a lot of kids, long life, and good parnasa. You don't, there's nothing to do with marriage. You could be a great person and not have it. You could be a terrible person and have it. The Gemara says is not dependent on your merits. It's only up to mazel. And he said, what's the proof? He said, I'll prove it. The Rabbi and Rav Chista, because Rabbi and Rav Chista, Tavayu Rabbanu Tzadikav, were complete righteous tzadikim. Rabbi and Rav Chista were the greatest sages of the Gemara. Mar Matzle, one of them would pray, meaning Rav Chista would pray, V'hosim mitra, and rain would fall. Mar Matzle, and one would pray, V'hosim mitra, and rain would also come down. Meaning, both were great tzaddikim. When they prayed for rain, it rained. Okay, so they're both great tzaddikim. Yet, Rav Chista, Choya Tishin V'tar Tishnin, yet Rav Chista lived 92 years, Rabba Chai Arban Shinin, and Rabba only lived 40 years. That means Rabba lived half, less than half, of the life of Rav Chista. So if they're both tzaddikim, why did Rabba live 40 and he lived 92? Obviously it's not merits, because they're both had merits. It was mazel. Not only that, the Gemara says, Ki bei Rav Chista, the household of Rav Chista, Sheet and Hiluli, celebrated 60 weddings of children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whatever. Rav Chista celebrated 60 weddings. Rabba, Sheet and Tichle. Rabba's household suffered 60 burials. Again, the same people, Rabba and Rav Chista, two great tzaddikim, yeah? One celebrated, one lived 92, the other one lived 40. One celebrated 60 weddings, the other one had 60 funerals. Ki Rav Chista, Beit Rav Chista, in the house of Rav Chista, he was so rich, Smida Lakalva, they used to give fine flour to the dogs, and it wasn't even needed. You know, they didn't realize it wasn't even there. That's how rich he was. Beit Rabba, in Rabba's house, on the other hand, Nama Desadel Inchev Lemishtakach, they didn't even have barley flour for the men. Barley was a cheaper grade flour than wheat. So it says, Rav Chista was wealthy. So in other words, what's the Gemara saying? The Rabbi's proof is from all these three things. Rav Chista lived long, had a lot of kids, and had a lot of money. Rabba lived short, no kids, he made 60 burials, and no parnasa. So you see that these three things, parnasa, life, and kids, is completely up to mazel. There's nothing to do with how many kids or, you know, I mean, what type of merits you have. What's mazel? The influence of the celestial bodies, constellations.
I thought Hashem didn't give us over to that.
Okay, so we once discussed it the Sunday morning thing. Here in the bottom, he brings on. I was going to come to it and say, but let me say it now. The Gemara in Shabbos records a dispute to whether prayer or good deeds can change mazel. Okay? Rava's statement in our Gemara apparently accords with the opinion of Chanina, who views the influence of mazel as inescapable. You cannot get out of it. However, the primary view is that of Rabbi Yechanan, who maintains that prayer or good deeds can improve one's fortune. Okay? There's no question, though, that a sinner who is liable to be put to death will die before his time. His mazel dictate. Okay. It's difficult to understand how Rava can be of the opinion that the length of a person's life, his children's livelihood, are determined by mazel, not by merit. In several places in Torah, it says, you keep mitzvahs, you're going to live long. You do mitzvahs, you'll be wealthy. So it's depending on the mitzvahs, right?
Yeah.
So he says, therefore we must say that Rava says, mazel is only a factor, but it can still be changed. And I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Others and disputes dissolve around the only individuals, In other words, mazel is only a question, can you change mazel or not? Just for individuals. Collectively, the Jewish people are not affected by mazel. Which means like this. From one side, when something good happens, what do we say? Mazel tov. Mazel tov means you should have a good mazel. Right? Yet, the Gemara says, ein mazel Yisrael. There is no mazel by a Jew. Okay? What it means is as follows. And the accepted, so to speak, ruling of all this is as follows. Jews are affected by mazel. A Jew could change mazel. Meaning, ein mazel Yisrael means a Jew is not dictated and ruled totally by mazel, they could change it. The classic example is the story of Rabbi Akiva's daughter on a wedding day. An astrologer told Rabbi Akiva that your daughter is going to die on a wedding day. And he forgot all about it. And you know the story, she ended up giving food to a poor person. And Rabbi Akiva said that saved her life. And Rabbi Akiva said, oh, tzedakah tatzel mimavis. Tzedakah saves from death. Right? But it was destined, according to the mazel, that she should die that night. And the snake was there, ready for action. Her actions changed the mazel. So when you say the concept of mazel, and you wish somebody to have a good mazel, mazel tov, you should have a good mazel. Meaning, mazel has a control, but a Jew could change that.
Okay, so that just brings us back to the point at which the two examples, and you have to ask about the one without mazel. Did he do anything with all the great things that he did? Why is it that he did not override the mazel that he had?
Why didn't God override the mazel?
Well, no, on the basis of his mitzvahs. Yeah, why didn't Hashem do something? Yeah, or by the merit of his own mitzvahs or whatever it was, or Hashem's mercy, whatever. Why is it that he was still he died at 40?
Why did he die at 40? Because that was the time Hashem gave him.
No, I'm serious.
That was the mazel. But obviously, not always can we change the mazel. If Hashem doesn't want, in other words, if his mission in life, L'chatchila, was only for 40 years, that was it. He couldn't change it. It wasn't something Hashem wanted him to change.
So is that Hashem's will or
correct
mazel?
Hashem's will through the mazel. The mazel is the axe that God chops with. The mazel is the axe that God chops with. But the axe has no free choice of its own, like we learned. So, when Hashem wants the mazel, so we say you should have a good axe, you should be able to cut well, you know. But that doesn't mean the person's bound by it. You come to the mazel, Hashem, his the time is... In fact, by the way, Tesis says over here in the Gemara that this number 60 funerals and 60 weddings is not necessarily exact. It means a lot. It doesn't necessarily mean exactly 60. But the Rab is saying that but even Rava says, who says this statement is dependent on mazel, meaning there's a strong mazel force. A Jew can still change it. When we say tilim for somebody, and you change a name, you add a name to somebody who's sick, right? What do you say in the prayer? That if it was decreed upon this person to die, God forbid, the name change, it's a new mazel, and it's a new person. Right? Who are you playing games with? Think about it, you're playing games with God. It's the same person, right? It's the same person. If the person's supposed to die, would you add a name if you're playing games with God? I mean, what do you get accomplished by adding a name? Adding a name means you create a new channel for a new type of a bracha, for a new type of a mazel. And it's, by the way, it's an extremely difficult concept. The mefarshim, here over here, it doesn't even quote other places in Shabbos and where the Gemara elaborates much more on this concept, and it's one of the most difficult things to understand, even in the Gemara concepts of how does it work with mazel. From one side, we find Jews have a connection to mazel, like he says here, depending on mazel, right? Other places it says not mazel. There's even an argument: can prayer change mazel? Can prayer not change mazel? The accepted opinion is prayer could change mazel. But there's still a concept of mazel. And that's why we say mazel tov. Even though a Jew is not bound by it.
But Jews have the power to change the mazel.
They have the power to change the mazel. One opinion is the Jews as a nation are not bound by mazel, individuals are. There is such opinion in the Rishonim. But officially, the accepted opinion by most people is a Jew has mazel, but they could change it.
But this example again, the guy wasn't able to change it.
Right.
He did all the merit he did in his life, he wasn't able to change it.
Correct. Let me ask you a question. Somebody got deathly ill, everybody davens, and the guy dies. Correct? Obviously, if Hashem says prayer works, why didn't it work? Because Hashem didn't want it to work. Because there's certain things that are given already. The person has to die this day. We're going to see in the Gemara stories about the Malach HaMavis coming mamish up in the next page. Malach HaMavis stories, Ravashi told the Malach HaMavis, do me a favor, I'm busy now, come back in a month. He came back in a month. The Malach HaMavis came back in a month. I mean, his stories, unbelievable. Sometimes the Malach HaMavis said, what do you keep me waiting for? Let's go. And he took him. It's mind-blowing stories. But this whole thing is a very difficult concept to understand. You know, does prayer work? Does davening work?
Well, it depends what you mean by that. If Hashem hears what we say...
Does it work?
I say Hashem does what we say, but Hashem doesn't always do what we want to do.
Does prayer sometimes work? Sometimes davening works?
It always
works. The question, do we see it? Well, it always works. You're right.
It doesn't always work.
Hashem says, stop davening. And when Moshe Rabbeinu davened 5-15 times to go into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem said, be quiet already. In other words, sometimes tefillah does work. And therefore a person has an obligation to daven. Sometimes Hashem says, listen, sometimes you have to daven, we should know what to daven for. We should ask Hashem to teach us what to daven for. There's a story at the end of Ksubis, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was dying. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was dying. He died from a stomach ailment, the Gemara says, yeah? He was in torturous pain. It's probably something what we would call today cancer, okay? He was in torturous pain. All the Chachamim are davening for him to get better and better, okay? He had one of his maids in the house who witnessed the torture that he was suffering. He said to God, you know what, God, do me a favor, get rid of him already. Stop his suffering. She davened Hashem, take him already, that he shouldn't suffer anymore. And the Gemara says, Hashem listened to her and took her. Took him away. Against all the davening of the tzaddikim. No, the maidservant was nobody special.
But she stopped the davening. She interrupted the davening by dropping the pot from the balcony.
But she davened Hashem first, the Gemara says, that he should stop to take him, stop the suffering. So davening helps. This, by the way, you have to daven anyway, because like you said, it helps. We don't know what it helps. It definitely helps. Then the Gemara says like this. Listen to this. Amid Rava said, Hani tlas mili bai kamishmaya. Rava was also a very big tzaddik. He said, listen, I davened to God for three things. Tarti yarvali, two things he gave me. V'chad alo yarvali, one of the three he didn't give me. I davened for all three, Hashem only gave me two of the three. Not bad odds, but what did he daven for? He said like this. Chochma sidravuna, I wanted the wisdom of Rav Huna, because we learned before in the Gemara, Rav Huna was mamish, super brilliant. I wanted Usrei de Rav Chista, the wealth of Rav Chista. These two things Rav said, Yavale I got. I got Rav Huna's wisdom, and I got Rav Chista's wealth. What was the third thing he wanted? And Vasanusei de Rabbe bar Rav Huna, I wanted the humility of Rabbe bar Rav Huna. I asked God for the humility. And Hashem said, Lo Yavali, I didn't get it. So you see, he davened. Some things worked, and some things didn't work for him. That's the way it did by Hashem. Now the Gemara says like this. Rav Se'edim, Achur de Rav Ahava. Rav Se'edim was the brother of Rav's brother. Ava Yosef, Kamed Rav, he was sitting in the presence of Rav, as Rav was in his deathbed. Okay, his brother, Rav Sa'edim, that was a funny name, but Rav Sa'edim, came to visit his brother Rav when Rav was dying. Chazer Daven Misnanim. He saw the way his brother Rava was slipping into death. You know, he saw his brother dying. Amalei, so Rava, who was dying, said to his brother, Leimalei ma'adulei letzaren, do me a favor. Tell the Malach HaMavetz that when I die, it shouldn't be painful. He says to him, tell the angel of death that I shouldn't suffer when I died. Amalei, so he says, ma'alav sheshvinuhu, is, aren't you his buddy? He says, Rava, you're greater than me, so you're his buddy. You should talk to him and tell him not to suffer. Amalei, so Rava answered, kiven de im simazol leishkachbi. Since my mazel has been given over to the angel of death, he's not going to listen to me. He said, the fact that I'm dying, I'm already in his crutches, you know? Clutches, it's not going to help. So he says, Amalei, so the brother said to Rava, do me a favor. This chazeleimar, do me a favor. After he told his brother Rava, after you die, come to me in a dream and tell me what happened. So the Gemara says, Ischazale, after Rava passed away, he came to his brother in a dream. Amalei, so Rav Sa'edim asked Rava, Havale lemar tzara, did you feel pain when you died? Amalei, he said to him, Kirivda dechsulta, like a puncture from a bloodletter's lancet, meaning, like he stick a shot. He said, I felt a little pain. That was it. Not a terrible amount of pain. Then the Gemara continues, and this happened before, because this story is about Rava, so obviously he was still alive. Rava Avayosve Kamid Rav Nachman. Rava was sitting in the presence of Rav Nachman when he was on his deathbed. Chazid the Kaminamni saw Rav Nachman was slipping into death. Amalei, Rav Nachman said to Rava, Leimelei Mardalei Letzadim, please tell the angel of death not to hurt me when I die. Amalei, so Rava said to Rav Nachman, Mar lav adam chashuvu, aren't you an important person? You're a great person. Speak to him yourself. What do you want from me? You're greater than me. Speak to the angel of death yourself. Amalei, so he says like this, Man chashuv, who is important? Man Safiya, who is awesome? Man Rakia, who is exalted before the angel of death? He said, what do you think? I'm an important guy. In the presence of the angel of death, nobody's important. So what do you want from me? Amalei, so Rav said to Rav Nachman, do me a favor, come back to me after you die and tell me what happened. Ischazele, he came, Amalei said to him, Havale lemar tzara. So Rav said to Rav Nachman again, did you have pain when you died? Amalei said, no. Kemishchol benisa michalava is like taking out a hair from milk. You pull out a hair from milk, it's completely painless. So he said, I mamish, no pain when I died. And he says, but, the Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if the Holy One would tell me, Hashem would tell me, Zil Bahu Alma Kadhavis, go back to the world like you were and die again, Le Be'inish, I still wouldn't do it. Come back to die again. Why? Because the Nafish Biususei, it's a tremendous amount of fear for the angel of death. He said, yeah, it was painless, but the fear was too much for me. I wouldn't want to do it again. To come back into the world and die, even though he didn't die without any, he died without any pain. The Mefarshim, by the way, ask a question over here. There's a din that you're not allowed to talk to dead people. Well, he tells these people, come back and tell me how it was. So basically, you're bringing up the people from the dead. Why? What right did they have to do it? And here they don't answer it.
But he didn't bring him. They came to his dream. He didn't, like, bring the dead.
Okay, so that's what some of the Mefarshim answer. Darish al-Amesim is when you bring up the spirits from the dead. Here, they came to him in a dream, so he didn't ask him. He came. You know, he didn't seek out the dead. So when you come to the grave and you do magic and...
Yeah, you asked him when he was alive already.
And nowadays, can you pray that Tzadikim, for instance, that we usually don't have the Lubavitcher Rebbe?
No.
I've heard that some people pray, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe comes in dreams. or other tzaddikim.
People coming in dreams is not called Derech Shalemesim. You don't daven to the dead people. You're not allowed to. What you do is you daven that they should intercede on your behalf.
Correct.
That's what you do. That's not called talking to the dead. Talking to the dead, when they used to bring up the dead bones and the Ishtar, which with witchcraft, they actually spoke to them. There were conversations going on. In fact, Shmuel brought up the spirit of Sholem Melech in the story in Nevi'im. And all the commentators ask over there, how could that be? He's not allowed to. And they answer various different ways of what he did.
He died?
Huh?
He died?
Who? Shmuel. Shmuel was punished for doing it. But the question, how did he do it? He was such a tzaddik. If you're not allowed to do it, how did he do it? So the answer, the way he did it, wasn't forbidden or whatever. Okay. See, in fact, Tesis over here, what we were talking about before about the mazel, Tesis says, when the Gemara says about these three things are up to mazel, so Tesis says, but we say, ein mazel Yisrael, the Jews are not bound by mazel. So he says Jews could change it through davening. And like we said before, the Jews could change it. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Lazar have a ka'achol truma. Rabbi Lazar was eating truma. He was a kayin. So he was eating truma. His chazale, he saw the angel of death. Okay? So the angel of death came to take him. Amale, Rabbi Lazar said to him, truma ka'achilna, v'lav kedesh shikra. If I'm eating truma, is it not called holy? Meaning, how could you kill me and I'm doing holy things? So the Gemara says, Chofa le shaita, a moment passed, and the angel of death didn't take him until he finished eating the truma. After he finished eating the truma, the angel of death took him. Before that, he didn't take him. Then the Gemara says, Rafsheshis is chazalei b'shuka. The angel of death came to Rafsheshis when he was in the marketplace to take him, you know, to kill him. Amalei Rav Sheshes said to him, "B'shuka kivehema, you want me to die in the marketplace like an animal? What are you taking me? You want to kill me here?" He says, "Isa legabe beisa, come to my house, and over there you'll kill me." In other words, Rav Sheshes, as the Mefarshim explained, Rav Sheshes wanted to die an honorable death in bed. Okay, he didn't want to die in the street like an animal. And then Malach HaMavis listened. That was the great power these people had. They even controlled the angel of death.
I don't get it. How are these conversations are recorded?
Obviously, Rav Sheshes has told over the story. I don't know. Yep.
Ruach HaKodesh from the...
From Ravashi, the people that wrote it. It was all... you know, it says, by Megillah Esther. The Gemara says, it was written with divine inspiration. It says, how do we know? Because it says when the king couldn't sleep and he read the books and he wanted to reward Mordechai, and Haman came, so the king asked Haman, "What should we do to a guy that the king wants to honor?" Yeah. So the pasuk says, "Vayemer Haman alibay." Haman said to himself, "He probably means me, right?" So the question is, how did the Megillah know what Haman thought to himself, right? So the Gemara says, "No, you could tell by Haman's answer that that's what he thought." Instead. But Torah is divinely inspired. Then the Gemara says, this is the story of Ravashi we said before. Ravashi is Chazalei Bishuk. Ravashi saw the angel of death in the marketplace. And meaning, he came to say, let's go. Amalei Ravashi said to him, Isrichli Tlos in Yemen. You have to wait 30 days for me. Bahadil Tamudah, that I should review all my studies. Everything was oral. Every 30 days, he used to review everything they knew. That was the rotation. So he says, why? Why is it so important for me to review my learning before I die? Tamrisi, because you guys say in heaven, fortunate is one that comes here with the learning in his hand, meaning if you remember it, or if you practice. Okay? So therefore, Ravashi said, do me a favor, I want to come up to heaven, they should ask me what I learned. So do me a favor, wait until 30 days, I'll review my learning, and then you can come, I'll die. So the Gemara says, what happened? He took waited. B'yayim t'los in Asim. On the 30th day, the Malach HaMavis came back to kill Ravashi. Amalei, so Ravashi said to him, Michael, what's the rush? Like, why do you want to kill me? What's the rush? He says, I'll tell you why I have to kill you. The Kodach Karagla de Varnosin. You, Ravashi, is pushing away the feet of Barnosin. Meaning, like this. And the Gemara says, Ve'malchus neges bechavrita, one king does not engage in the kingdom of his friend, afilu kemali nima, even one hair breadth. You find the same thing in Chumash, with Moshe and Yeshua. The Malachim of his said to Ravashi, after 30 days he came back, he said, okay, let's go. He said, what's the rush? He said, listen, when you die, this person of Huna Rav Nosson is taking over the yeshiva from you. He's taking over the yeshiva. He said, the rule is, as soon as a new king's reign starts, the old king cannot mix into it. He cannot even 1 second worth. So now in heaven is the time for Rav Huna Rav Nosson, you have to die. And the same thing Rashi says in Chumash with Moshe and Yeshua, Hashem said to Moshe, you know what, enough already. Now is Yeshua's leadership, you can't stay alive when Yeshua's a leader, you have to go. So the Malach Mavis said to Ravashi, now it's a rush because 30 days they gave you, but that's it. Then the Gemara says, Rav Chista lo yava yochalim. The angel of death couldn't kill Rav Chista. Why? His mouth never stopped learning. Tanya brings on the story about Rabba, that the Malchum Avos couldn't kill rabbits, but that Gemara is in Bava Metzia. In this Gemara it says Rav Chista, the Malchum Avos came to kill him. He couldn't because he was learning Torah. And as long as you're learning Torah, you can't get killed. So what happens? So the Malchum Avos had to figure out a way to kill him. What did he do? Salak Yosef Ba'arza. The Malachim Avos went and set up in a cedar tree next to the yeshiva. Paka Arza. He cut the tree in half. It became a big commotion. Rav Chista was caught off guard with the noise and he stopped learning for a second. And the Malachim Avos got him. The Yochale, and then he was able to kill him. In other words, it interrupted his learning thought, and right away the Malachim Avos killed him. Then the Gemara says, Rav Chiya le'av amatzel mekadavli. Also, when it came Rav Chiya, the angel of death couldn't get him either. Yom echad idma le'kanya. One day, it came the time for Rav Chiya to go. So the angel of death got dressed up as a poor person. What happened? Asim tarav above. He knocked on Rav Chiya's door. The Malachim Avos got dressed up like a poor person, knocked on the door. Amalei, so he said to him, Apikli rifta, give me some bread. He knocked on the door, he says, I'm a poor man, and give me some bread. The Malachim Avos said. Apikulei, so the people of Rav Chiya's household brought him out some food. Amalei, so he said to Rav Chiya, V'lavka merachim mara anya, don't you have any mercy on the poor? Meaning, if you do. So he said, Ahu gavra mailer kamrachamar, why don't you have mercy on me? Meaning, Rav Chiya knew was the angel of death. So he says, you see, your family has mercy on poor people. So he says to Rav Chiya, why don't you have mercy on me? I have a job to do. Let me do my job. So what happened? Galilei achve sheita denheira. He said he revealed himself to Rav Chiya with a rod of fire. Amsele nafshe Rav Chiya surrendered his life to him. Meaning Rav Chiya understood, you know, that it was Taka the angel of death. And because of that, he gave up his life. So these are all the stories about the Malachim Avos. Okay, next page, the Mishnah. Okay, it says like this. When this is going back to the Gemara at the beginning of the Perek, was dealing about the laws of Yom Tov Chol HaMoed, with mourning, which you're allowed to mourn on Yom Tov Chol HaMoed, and all this stuff of mourning. So now the Gemara, the Mishnah is going to say, women used to put on a show at funerals. They used to eulogize, and they used to clap, and they used to yell, they used to do all these things at funerals. So the Mishnah is going to discuss what they're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed at funerals and what they're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed at funerals. So the Mishnah says like this. Nashim b'moed, the Mishnah says women at Chol HaMoed may ma'anes. They're allowed to, in the English, is called elegy. Okay, the Gemara is going to say exactly what it is in the beginning of the Gemara, what they used to say. But they're not allowed to clap. Meaning, women at the time, in the olden times, at the time of funerals, would bang either two opinions. One is they used to bang their chests to show a sign of mourning, or they used to bang their hands in a sign of mourning. So, even though they're allowed to say elegies, what the Gemara is going to explain what that means, but they were not allowed to bang their chests or bang their hands against each other because that was too much mourning, which was improper during Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Shmuel says, Hasmuchis lemita, those women standing near the coffin, they are allowed to metapris. They are allowed to clap. Because it's like the dead body is right in front of them, they're allowed to do it. But the women standing a little bit away were not allowed to. Then it says, "Berashi chadashim bechanik upurim." There's chaydish, chanik and purim, which are not as festive as Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, "Ma'anes umetapchis." They can chant this chanting that the Gemara is going to explain, and they're allowed to clap hands. But lay mekainenis, but they're not allowed to do lamentations. Meaning, it was more eulogizing than the regular ones, which was allowed on Rosh Chodesh. Nikvid ames, once though the dead body is buried, le'ma'anes, le'metapres, they cannot chant, they cannot clap, and Chol HaMoed, it's over. You know, while the body is there, they can chant, but they can't clap. But once the body is buried, they're not allowed to do it anymore. So it says in the Mishnah, Eze inui, what is considered inui? So it says, Shekulan Enes Ka'achas. We're all chant together. And there's a different chants. There was one chant, all the women there would chant together. Then there was another one where one said, led, and the other ones answered. So the second one is much more severe than the first one. So the Gemara says, Inui is Shekulan Enes Ka'achas, all of them chant together. Kino, what does lamentation mean? Sha'achas Medaberes, that one speaks, v'kulan einis achre, and all of them answer after her, that is worse, and that's stricter. Because it says, how do we know that that's what it means? Shenema, because the Pasuk says, v'lamdeina b'nei seichem nehi, teach your daughters, plural, the mourning, v'ishir u'usakina, and one woman will lament her friend. Which means that ma'anes is when they all do it together, and kina is when one does it. But the Mishnah ends off, the Taisa says, the Mishnah wants to end off the Masechta with a good thing. So it says, La'asad lavi hu'eme, when Mashiach comes, it says, Bila mavis lanetzach, Hashem will eliminate death forever, u'mach Hashem alakim dima, and Hashem will erase tears, me'al kopanim, from all face. Meaning there won't be any more death, there won't be any more mourning, and that's it. Okay, you know what? Leave it here.